Broadcasting from the studios of Business Radio X, it's time for the Good to Give podcast. This show is underwritten by the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, connecting people who care with causes that matter. Now, here is your host.
Hi, everyone. This is Maria Sullivan with the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. We are so excited about today's episode, and I am ready to jump in. But before I do that, our wonderful CEO of the Community Foundation is here with us today, DePriest Wadi. Do you want to say something, DePriest?
I'm just really excited about our segment today. We've got we've gone international, so that's all I'm going to say. But thank you, Maria, and thank you, Radio X, and I'll let you introduce our guests. Thank you for coming.
Yes, we are. This is a really unique episode because we are going international and we're going to talk a lot about what's going on in the world. And I'm going to open that up with our first guest, Emery Morseberger. And Emery has so much to talk about today that I just can't wait to get started. A little bit about Emery. I'm just going to go with Emery. And with you being in Atlanta, is that a family name,
and I went to Emory.
Oh.
In fact, I was president of my class. A vote for Morseberger is a vote for Emory.
I love it. That's amazing and outstanding. But Emory has a wealth of knowledge. Was reading about you. You're a history buff. I want to hear all about that. And an avid traveler, speaking of, you know, the international aspect of this. But Emory, give us some highlights of who you are.
I am the father of seven incredible daughters who I've taken all over the world.
And
we now have 10 and a half grandchildren and spent a lot of time with them. I manage the Gateway 85 Community Improvement District and the Tucker Summit Community Improvement District in Gwinnett and DeKalb counties. I have a political background and have been involved in a large number of different community efforts. But this is my first international foray, and it's been quite a rewarding experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it, and I can't wait to hear all about it. And so I'm going to move on just a minute and just talk about our other guest, which is, thank you so much. This is Samuel Richmond. And Samuel, I mean, what a team player. And we were looking for a financial advisor to pair up with Emery today, and you came out and you just made this happen. So thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Yeah. And why don't you give us a little insight as to who you are and what you're doing?
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm a certified financial planner and founder of InvestFit. We're an independent financial planning firm in Gwinnett. And I am glad to be here. We help our families and businesses that we work with make smart decisions with their money. Our tagline is financial fitness at its finest. And so part of overall financial stewardship is giving. And so I'm glad to be a part of the show today and talk about how a donor advised fund might be a good fit for your investment strategy.
So a fun fact. So both Samuel and Emery are friends of mine, and we're both in the Rotary Club of Gwinnett County. So Emery, I know you're in the Rotary Club of Alpharetta. We featured you guys before on our podcast, so we're spreading the love with the Rotaries as well.
Yeah, those fellow Rotarians, I'm excited to be amongst you guys. Yeah, Samuel, you've got a lot to talk about too with your business. I do love the financial fitness. I want to hear all about that. I was reading about you earlier as well, and pretty impressive. So let's get started. You ready to just start talking about what we're doing in this world?
Rock and roll.
Let's do it. Emery, I love what you're doing with the CID, doing so much with the communities and growing. But you were sharing during our initial break as to how this happened and why you're doing what you're doing internationally. And I'm just going to let you take it from here.
It all began when I was in Ukraine in 1998. I was really amazed with the people there and how much they loved their freedom. They had just come out from under Soviet domination and didn't want to go back into Soviet domination. They were so proud to be free and able to do what they wanted to do. And fast forward to 2000 to 2022, when they were invaded on February 24th of last year. And I was very upset about that. I said, I want to do more than just write a check or whine about this. I want to get involved and I want to help these people. I didn't know a single person in Ukraine. And really, other than the history, I didn't know a whole lot about how they were set up. But I dug in and learned about it, and I prayed about it, and I literally was on top of Stone Mountain at sunrise last April and praying for something to do that could help me to help them. And that day, I was approached by Chris Brand, the president of FODAC, which stands for Friends of Disabled Adults and Children. The Atlanta area Rotary Clubs had come together and raised a couple hundred thousand dollars to buy medical equipment to send to Ukraine. They hired FODAC, or retained FODAC, to organize the purchasing, palletizing, and shipping of that medical equipment. This was 37 pallets. This was 12,000 pounds of very sophisticated medical equipment that was badly needed by the hospitals in Ukraine. FODAC was organizing this and preparing the shipment and needed somebody to go with the shipment. Chris Brand asked me if I wanted to go, and I thought, oh my God, this is mind-boggling. Here I prayed for a mission, and that day I'm asked by FODAC in Tucker, who are one of the most amazing organizations in Metro Atlanta. They recycle medical equipment that is donated and then give the medical equipment, wheelchairs, walkers, and all kinds of other things, hearing aids, for example, give it to poor people who can't afford the medical equipment. So their background is they were doing this in Metro Atlanta, and it grew to where they were doing it for hurricanes around the Caribbean. And then FEMA engaged them to get medical equipment into disasters. And so that's how the Atlanta area Rotary Clubs came upon them to organize this shipment of medical equipment last spring of 2022. So they bought the equipment, they palletized it, they had it packaged and ready to go, and needed somebody to escort it. And I said, "Here I am, send me." And a month later, I was in Ukraine. I had not really planned to actually go into a country that was being attacked, but I just felt like that's what I was supposed to do.
I love it. So the name of the organization, just so I make sure I'm highlighting that, is Helping Ukraine.
The name of our organization is HelpingUkraine.us.
.us.
Helping, yes. Ukraine. Remember the .us on the end. Okay. And you can pull us up. We've got a website. We actually have the website for the Community Foundation in the link. Mm-hmm. If you want to donate on a credit card, you can go right to our website and hook right to Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia and pop that check or that money right through. And we've received hundreds of donations from people all over the country that go straight into our foundation account at the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia. And then I designate where the money will go. They send the money, and the money goes right into use. Our cost is virtually nil. I mean, the foundation keeps track of all of the accounting, the federal regulations. It's a 501c3 account, and they are incredibly well organized. So they handle the money while I handle what we're going to do with the money.
I love it. Well, thank you for that plug. The Community Foundation does do amazing, amazing work, even though I'm part of it. I mean, I'm a little biased. So Samuel, I'm going to talk more about, we will talk later about the donations, how to donate, get involved and all that sort of thing with the website. But for the sake of what you were saying is about financials and, what's charitable giving looking like from a financial aspect. I know this is an international project. So, Samuel, does that really, does that upset anything, or can you do it easily? And when it comes down to what Emery's talking about as far as donating and getting involved from your point of view?
Yeah, no. Well, first and foremost, wow. That's such a tremendous testimony and amazing story. And I've seen some of the, I've heard Emery speak and seen some of the pictures of his trips to Ukraine and the tremendous impact that he's made and that he's continuing to make in that country. So thank you very much, Emery. And I'm glad to have been one of your donors.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And so just to speak about the financials, I mean, this is one of the benefits of a donor advised fund in that you can direct that money wherever you want it to go. And so being able to put aside that money, one of the benefits of a donor advised fund is that you do get that tax deduction up front. But then you can determine where that money goes and when it goes at any given time in the future.
And I neglected to ask this question. So how long have you been a financial advisor?
14 or 15 years now. You know, once you get past 10, it becomes a blur. Wow. I think I'm coming up on 17 or 18 years of marriage. So don't tell my wife. I think it's 18. It's 18.
She might be listening, you know.
She's always listening.
May happening. And so your background in, as a financial advisor, what's your ideal client? Is this something that is it a donor advised fund is the only thing you work on? Give me an idea of what you do.
No. So a donor advised fund is just one small part of how we work with our clients. I mean, part of financial stewardship. So our tagline is financial fitness at its finest. And so the thought process there is, if you think about working out, we're in our family really big into health and fitness. And so, you know, if you go to the gym and you just do a bunch of crunches, you're probably not even going to have abs. But there are a lot of folks out there and they're just, you know, basically doing crunches, but they're investing. They're doing one thing or they're doing this thing. And there's also no coordination with their overall investment strategy. And so what we do is we take the time to understand what's most important to you. What are your objectives? What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish? What are you currently doing right now? What's working? What's not? You know, and then we just put together a comprehensive plan to address every single area of their entire financial picture. And part of that is their charitable giving, right? Part of that is retirement planning. Part of that is maybe they want to start a business or maybe they want to grow a business. Part of that is college education for the kids. You know, we also have to be mindful of, well, what happens in the event of an emergency, whether it's a death or whether it's getting hurt on the job, or possibly even transferring wealth to the next generation. So we're planning for our clients' lives for 30, 40, 50 years, sometimes even for the next generation. And so these are all these things that we have to be mindful of when we're planning for our clients. So it's a very holistic approach to helping our clients make smart decisions with their money and make the most amount of impact with their money, both in their personal lives and in the communities that they want to serve.
What percentage of your clients would you say are, you know, on that generosity of, you know, that journey of generosity and have that thinking of, you know, charitable giving? And then you mentioned the second and third generation. I mean, is that common?
So I think in our industry, it's a possibility. It's starting to become more and more common. I mean, I think donor advised funds is one of the ways that everyone kind of benefits in that regard, because if you're an individual and you're charitably inclined, you can give that money directly to the organization, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. And I've done that as well, and even continue to do that still, even though I have a donor advised fund. But one of the benefits of giving to that donor advised fund is that maybe, I know a couple of years ago, my wife and I, we had started a business, and we were just like between my practice and her practice and this business, and we were just insanely busy. And we, you know, we were able to just donate to the donor advised fund. And then when we had time to kind of think through, okay, where do we want to give? Who do we want to give to? Or sometimes just being able to call up the donor, you know, being able to call up the folks, and sometimes they'll make suggestions and stuff like that. Or, hey, this is something that we saw is a big problem or a concern of ours. What organizations do you know that address this concern? So, you know, there's so many benefits in that regard. So some of our clients, not all of our clients do donor advised fund. What percentage off the top of my head, I don't know, but I would say that you know, a good portion of our clients are charitably inclined, because that's one of the things that we look for when we do take on a client, right? Mm-hmm. If you're the type of client that says, hey, I want to write a check, I want my last check to bounce, I might think twice before we bring you on as a client. And nothing against that. That's your money. You could do whatever you want. But one of the benefits of owning your own company is that you have the ability to decide who you want to work with, as they do as well. And so, it's a mutually beneficial relationship, then, you know, everyone wins.
That's great. Thank you. You know, and Emery, you had mentioned the benefits to working with a community foundation. And in Samuels, you were talking about opening a donor advice fund and having everything in one place. DePriest, you want to share a little bit about how the community foundation is, how this works, and how the, what the process is like for someone like Emery?
This is a classic example of a donor's choice or a fund holder's choice to give through the foundation. We love these types of opportunities because it does two things. It allows people who care to connect with causes that matter to them. And there's a quintessential interest in the Ukraine right now. And when Emery's vision came to life, we wanted to partner with him to take the administrative work and all the back office work off of his back so that he could go to Ukraine, make sure that the resources were deployed appropriately. And for those individuals who wanted to give anonymously, they could give through their donor advice funds in an alias. You know, it could be the Sunshine Fund or the Rainy Day Fund. It didn't necessarily have to be from Joe and Mary Smith. And so they wanted to put a layer of anonymity in there so that they could have just a little bit more confidentiality and discretion. You know, some folks really didn't mind. But others, you know, wanted that level of confidentiality, and we could assure that. And so, like Emery said, when he came to us to partner with FODAC, there were a lot of moving parts. And I think what a lot of individuals don't understand is it takes quite a deliberate feat to get money from the U.S. to the right hands in the Ukraine. And we wanted to make sure that the monies were secured in a way to where they wouldn't, you know, fall by the wayside in various and nefarious ways on the way. And then once they got there, we wanted to make sure that they were in safe hands. And so we worked with Emery and his team to make sure that, you know, we were able to account for every dollar, every penny, and that it got spent and it got matched exponentially. So Emery's got some phenomenal numbers. I'm not going to share them, but if he feels comfortable sharing with them around the numbers that they raised, they were raised and then matched, you know, 4-1. So when you look at those types of returns, it's a pretty significant feat. Great impact. Thank you, Emery.
And the other thing that the Community Foundation does, and both Samuel and Emery kind of alluded to this, is that we vet the organization. So if you have a client that is charitable, and they may want to get involved with the Ukraine or doing something for the people of the Ukraine. I mean, the Community Foundation vets all the nonprofits, so we could actually help with that education, and which is a big part of what the Community Foundation and pretty much any community foundation does. Tell me a little bit more about as I read through the website, in that the donations are directed towards food, as you mentioned earlier, the medical supplies, items for shelters that house the homeless. And I'm, you know, with everything that's going on there, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are homeless.
Well, we began the effort with medical equipment. We work with a doctor that is coordinating the hospitals in Ukraine. Her name is Dr. Ola Palachuk. I call her Florence Nightingale. and she's basically working to get equipment to doctors and hospitals that have been damaged in the war. What we focused on last year was wound care management and surgical drills to piece together bones that have been shattered in bombings. And then the last thing was incubators, portable battery-operated incubators, where a newborn can be in the maternity ward. And when the air raid siren goes off, the maternity nurses can pick up that incubator with the newborn in it and have it still completely function as they take it down to the bomb shelter in the basement of the hospital. And I've seen these incubators in action. I've been in the bomb shelters, and I know that they work. So we began with medical equipment, mainly shipped to Rotary clubs in Ukraine, and then distributed by Rotarians to 14 different hospitals and clinics around Ukraine. And that's what we did until November of last year. In November, we began working with churches along the war front and really focused along the war front on the needs there. You may remember that the Russians were bombing the power systems, and trying to knock out all of the heating, communications, and the ability of the Ukrainians on the eastern part of the country to function. So generators became very important. We shipped in 65 large generators to power regional hospitals, hospitals where they can't function without electricity. No hospital can function without electricity. So we have generators that are the backup power supply for their labs, their bomb shelters, their water systems, and their other systems that control how they run the hospital, so that when the Russians bomb the power system, the hospital keeps functioning. And these hospitals close to the front are critical for thousands of people. Another need that we discovered was that Ukraine mainly supplies water from wells. So you'll have a community with 50,000 people that is receiving water from a single well. Without electricity, there's no pumping of the water to the people that need it for living. And so we supplied generators that power the well systems and the water pumping systems to get the water to the people that need it. And on the hospitals, we're helping roughly 500,000 to 800,000 people. On the wells, it was roughly 250 to 300,000 people that were receiving water from the wells where we were providing the power. The generators were also being used for orphanages. We had three different orphanages that we're supporting, and we've got generators that run their systems in the event that their power gets blown out. In addition to generators, last winter, we supplied several thousand very thick blankets to people so that if their heat got knocked out, they weren't going to freeze to death. Winter in Ukraine is cold. I've been there in January and February. It's cold. It's hard to imagine here in Georgia just how cold it is. And so we literally were stopping people from freezing with the blankets. And then working with churches along the war front, we installed wood-burning stoves into houses so that the people could gather firewood and heat their food and keep themselves warm, sometimes a couple families in the same place, so that they could get through the winter last winter. Now we're gearing up again for the same kind of situation. As you know, the Ukrainians are pushing the Russians out of Ukraine, and we anticipated this. And as they do that, they're freeing up villages that have all kinds of people living in them that weathered the storm. But when the Russians left, either their homes were damaged badly. I mean, you might have a house with a wall blown off, but people are still living in the remaining parts of the house. So we help them to stay warm. And we're working to help them with their communications. And we've been helping to get food into them. We're trying not to be in the food business because there are other suppliers of food into the crisis. But sometimes they need help getting the food into the people that need it. We actually have people working out of Odessa. We had 110 volunteers last winter that were installing generators, installing wood-burning stoves, distributing blankets, and then helping these people in other ways. We set up 24 hope centers along the war front so that people could come in if their house was no longer fully functional. They could come into one of our centers and get warmed up, get warm food, and charge a cell phone or if any other thing that they needed, as well as in some cases getting medicines so that they could keep going and surviving.
So the way it sounds is that for the most part, you said they were talking about blankets and so forth, and mm-hmm. but you raise money. It's contributions, monetary.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, but if someone wanted to donate blankets or items, is that something you handle as well?
We basically can buy blankets in Romania cheaper than we can ship them from the United States. Mm. So we've been offered blankets and clothing, and there are groups that will accept blankets and clothing, but it's cheaper for us to actually buy brand new blankets in Romania and Moldova. I mean, we can buy a sleeping bag there for $8 or $10. It cost us about that much to ship something from the United States in terms of the handling and the overall hassle.
Makes sense, right? I was just thinking of resources and how many blankets can someone else provide, where we have such an overabundance in the U.S. of, you know, I have so many coats in my closet that, I mean, I need to get rid of, and blankets and so forth and so on. And Sam, as a financial advisor, you know, based, this is an international project, although the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia is, you know, we are helping with this project. How does that impact your clients, and how would you share this type of knowledge, even though it's international? I mean, you know, as far as, like, who you would recommend or how to open a DAF and have it, you know, the dotted line go to Emory's organization?
Sure. Yeah. So number one, it's just about awareness. There's a couple ways that can be done. In terms of opening up a DAF, or why one would open up a DAF, whether it's international or not, when you contribute to the donor advised fund, it's going to a US-based organization. Where that money goes from there is really up to you, and they'll help you determine, you know, they'll help you with that if you need that help. But in terms of awareness is just the number one key. And so maybe Emory, what we can do is do some sort of like online a webinar where we introduce you and we get our clients together and we have a conversation around the good work that you're doing and open it up for people to ask questions, because there are a lot of folks that I know that we've talked to and even in our client meetings where, hey, you know, the topic of Ukraine, believe it or not, is a major topic. Mm-hmm. I mean, February 24th last year when that happened, I mean, you saw what happened to oil prices. That's an impact. You saw, you know, what happened with inflation. And so all these global events that are taking place, we're an interconnected world. That impacts us here. What happens in Ukraine, or what happens in China, what happens across the globe impacts us here today. And so we have to be mindful of those things. And the beautiful thing about, what Emory is doing is that he literally is, you know, he had very minimal ties, if any at all, to Ukraine, but just through providence, really, and just stepping out on faith, you know, he had a desire to make that difference and make a connection. And I'll tell you this: listen, I got two young boys. We have two businesses that my wife and I run, plus real estate holdings, et cetera. We're extremely busy. I don't have the luxury right now with a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old. I have to arrange to get them picked up today so I can come here. So, you know, to go out and fly to Ukraine and do what Emory is doing, not right now, but I can donate. I can give, right? I can give with my dime, even though right now at this stage of my life, I can't give with my time. And I think a lot of folks can appreciate that, and that might resonate with them. What I have a desire, I'd love to go to Ukraine. Maybe not while it's being bombed, of course. That's a risk that I don't want to take right now. But Emory's taking it, and he's willing to go out there and do that. But we could partner alongside and help give them some firepower in terms of dollars that can go a long way, a lot longer. Farther of an impact that I could make personally.
Right. Thank you. That's awesome. And I like the idea of having a webinar, and I don't know what that looks like as you flesh it out, but that's amazing. I love that you guys are already brainstorming on that.
I think Samuel is being very humble in the part that he and financial advisors play in serving as a gateway to get these dollars in the door and on the path to greatness, so to speak. I mean, you don't have to be the ones to go to the Ukraine to really make a difference. And without these pipelines and pathways that our financial advisors like Samuel and others are providing, we wouldn't have the resources at the Community Foundation to assist Emory for our fund holders to give safely and through, and with a great reputation of where these dollars are going, so that there is, you know, a paper trail around, you know, getting the dollars from the United States across the borders to the neighborhoods. I mean, I was just sitting here thinking about what it would truly be like to live in my home with the back of the house blown out, and what type of currency is currently available to Ukrainians in order to even buy goods or sell goods in order to sustain the livelihoods. And just imagine having a baby in an incubator when you're dealing with so much tragedy in and of itself, with potentially the rest of the family. And you got to be part of fighting the war as well.
That's right.
So, Emery, hats off to you for all the great work that you're doing and making a difference. You definitely get the Hero Award.
Well, it's a team effort, and there are thousands of people who have helped, either by contributing or by helping to get supplies over there, or by actually distributing the supplies on the ground along the war front in Ukraine. We're working with a lot of really dedicated volunteers. The Rotary folks have been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Last year, the shipments that were being put together in the United States, Atlanta was just one place in the United States organizing shipments to Ukraine by the Rotary clubs. They were coming from all over. In fact, when I was in the warehouses in Ukraine, I saw shipments that even come from other countries, whether they're in Europe, Brazil, Canada, all Australia. We're sending Rotary clubs, sending shipments in, and just like we were from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And then there were volunteers there from all over the world, people with churches, people with community organizations, people that just wanted to jump in like I did and help in any way that we could. And it was really inspiring to see people working there and doing all of this. And those are the people that we're now helping. And yesterday, literally on top of Stone Mountain at sunrise, I was talking to volunteers in Ukraine. Ukraine is 7 hours ahead of us time-wise. So it's 7 o'clock in the morning, sunrise here. It was roughly 2 o'clock in the afternoon there. And they were actually taking care of medical emergencies resulting from Russia's shelling of communities along the front. They were 10 miles from the front and were occasionally being shelled. They actually sent me pictures of their buildings that had been shelled last week. But they came through without getting hurt. They said it was a little hard to hear afterwards, but they were still going strong, and they were suturing people up. They were putting tourniquets on people and basically getting people stabilized that had come from the war front 10 miles to their east, and getting them then into ambulances like the ones that we sent over last month, and getting them to the hospitals where they could be operated on or taken care of further. And they sent me a list of medical supplies that they need now. And we will send them money this week for those medical supplies. I mean, we are going to buy $10,000 worth of medical supplies in Poland this week. Okay. I mean, we're not talking about it. We're doing it. We're going to wire $10,000 to a medical supply company who is giving this group a great discount on these supplies. And then this medical company is getting the supplies straight from Poland across the Ukrainian border, across Ukraine. Poland is west of Ukraine, and the war is on the east side. They're getting them straight into the clinics that need the supplies. There's no slippage along the way. I mean, everything's tracked pretty thoroughly, and everything we're buying is getting price discounted so that we can get more for our money and getting shipped straight in to the people who will be using it next week to save lives and save limbs. The surgical drills, when I drop them off last year in Kyiv, the surgeons in the room had tears in their eyes. They were using Black & Decker drills, okay, that like we would buy in Home Depot to piece together someone's shattered arm or leg. In many cases, they were just simply amputating that arm or leg. The surgical drills that we were sending allowed them to piece together the bones and sew the person back up so that they could walk or still have both arms functional. And these are real stories. And I mean, that's just the people injured by the bombings. And then you've got all of the other people, old people and young people, that have all kinds of needs. And we're helping to meet those needs. And we're not alone. There are a lot of other groups working together as a team to get supplies where they're needed as fast as possible.
That's incredible. I was thinking, I know we have such a shortage of workforce in the United States. How is that? Is that affected there at all? And where do the, you know, I know you're providing the materials and the resources to those doctors, but where are the doctors, nurses or the volunteers coming from?
Well, the doctors in the hospitals are doctors that were there all along. Ukraine is a modern country. I mean, it's amazing. People in the United States aren't aware of how modern they are in terms of their technology and their infrastructure. They have people there that are able to do the jobs that need to be done. Medical personnel along the front are in short supply, which is what you hear about with the people we're working with. I mean, these are volunteers from the United States, and there's one in our group from Australia. Last week, two people from England were killed that were in the same area by the Russian bombings. But they're volunteers that just want to get in and make a difference and save lives. And it's happening now. It's not something people are talking about. It's something people are doing.
Yeah, I would think that's what I was thinking of, the volunteers. Mm-hmm. And there are so many casualties. So, I mean, that unfortunately, that's, you know, something that they're having to deal with. And thank you so much for all the work you're doing. You're just a blessing.
Again, it's a team effort.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So, Samuel, do you have anything that I know you have a heart for charity yourself? You said you and your wife and children. And, you know, is this something, I mean, we hear about this on the news, but I don't know anyone firsthand, you know, that's sharing all this information with me to know what's really going on. I mean, I know what's going on, but, you know, the media doesn't necessarily give you all the information like Emery's doing today. Is this something that you guys, have a conversation at your home about what's going on in the Ukraine? Are the kids aware of what's going on? And would you share this type of story with them?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, obviously as a parent, we try to shield and protect our kids and their innocence from certain things. But we've had conversations, not specifically about Ukraine, but more so, hey, you know, there are children out there that don't have a home, because maybe there's a war going on, or, you know, they don't have, appropriate, amounts of food or nutrition. And so, yeah, we have those types of conversations. And one of the things that we do once a year, at least with the kids, and the family is, we get together and we start having conversations around, hey, you know, here's what's an important cause for you. What's an important cause for you? What's important for you? And you know, when they're real young, obviously they don't really know necessarily what's that important, but it's just grooming them, to be charitably inclined, because it is better to give than to receive. And I don't know how, I just consider it a miracle, but I mean, the more you give, it's somehow some way, you know, those blessings come back. And so you're not giving necessarily to get, but at the same time, you know, when you're able to give to a good cause. And I think there are a lot of organizations out there. And one of the benefits of using a DAF is just being able to vet some of those organizations. And I know, just being able to vet. I think that, you know, we don't have specific conversations around Ukraine in our household with the kids. My wife and I will have those conversations. But honestly, right now, with two kids and the way our lives are, having a conversation sometimes is challenging. Just real talk. But no, this is amazing work that Emery's doing, and there are others like him that's out there, whether it's to Ukraine or whether it's just right down the road, and there's food insecurity. That's a major challenge and hurdle that we have to deal with right here in Gwinnett. There are kids going to school every day. I forgot what the numbers are. 1 in 3 or 1 in 4, something like that, that don't have adequate nutrition right here in our, in our neighborhoods. And so whether it's Ukraine or whether it's here at home, there are organizations out there that I would encourage you, the viewers or listeners to research and find out where can your dollars make the most amount of impact for those causes that you deem to be important for you.
I love what you just said. And as you reflected earlier and talked about the second and third generation of charitable giving, I was just wondering, how do you broach that subject, and how do you, whether it be in Gwinnett, as you mentioned, or in the Ukraine? I mean, unfortunately, this is ahead of us. And it's war's been around for a long time, and whether it be in your own community or abroad. But I find that really interesting in how you would approach that and create those ideas in a child's head as to giving. And you're right. The giving component of it is so important.
We said at the beginning of the segment, we asked about the differences and the changes in the environment of how donors and philanthropists, and particularly fund holders with DAFs, how they process all this information. So we talked about a really huge international paradigm shift with Emery's work with helping Ukraine. But then I was at lunch today and we were talking about the generation of healthcare and how many families just really don't have great health insurance, and how it's keeping them from work or keeping them from affordable housing and keeping them from being able to send their children to school every day. And so, we know that folks want to give, they want to help, but many of them just don't know where to plug into. And that's why community foundations are so important. That's why the Community Foundation of Northeast Georgia, we pride ourselves on having that community information, so that if you don't know where to give, but you kind of have an inkling or an idea as to a sector, then we can kind of help you process that in a very easy and fundamental way of figuring out where to plug in a way that suits your heart and suits your pocketbook. So lean into us, Community Foundation, CFNEG.org, for the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, and allow us to help and connect those dots when you're kind of in a gray area.
And that's why we actually do this podcast, is that educating the community, sharing all the great work that's happening. Hopefully this will be we're just becoming like somewhat thought leaders or pioneers and creating that light bulb to come off, to go off. And as Dupree said, it's just kind of where we want to help. We're here. So anything else that you want to share? I know you mentioned earlier, Emery, did you say 500,000 people, or do you said more? For some reason I heard 500,000 people that you feel like you've impacted so far.
The hospitals that we're providing power for serve roughly 500,000 people along the war front. The wells that we provide power for are roughly 250,000 people.
Wow.
And then we've provided all kinds of other care and services to tens of thousands of others. And again, we're focusing in the areas where the need is greatest. Mm-hmm. We're focusing on people that are actually victims of bombing or have had all of their possessions taken. We actually provided 10,000 chickens to a village along the front where all of their food supply was taken. And these are people that want to be self-sufficient. So we delivered baby chicks and seeds. We bought a whole lot of seeds and had the seeds distributed to this village so that they could get back on track. They don't want to be begging for food or supplies. They want to be self-sufficient, and our goal was to help make that happen. And last month we sent 150 kids from the area that was being actively bombed to the on the east side of the country to the Carpathian Mountains to a summer camp on the west side of the country. so they could be away from the bombing. And we had counselors there that could actually help them get their heads back together. These are young kids that were being subjected to bombing. So those are the kinds of things that we're working on. And the need is going to continue. And our goal is adapt and keep on serving the people who need the services the most.
And there's enough room for anyone to help.
There's enough room for anyone to help. And you can go to helpingukraine.us. And don't forget the U.S., helpingukraine.us, our website, and get an explanation of what we've got happening and how you can help.
Yes, and definitely have a need for everyone's help.
Yes.
One life at a time, and you've got 500,000 plus. Yes. So you're sleeping well at night.
Yes.
Yes. I would think. That's amazing. Yes. Thank you for everything you're doing. And Samuel, it sounds like you do as well. I mean, you are making an impact. It's, you know, it starts at home. And obviously you're setting the trend and as a role model and sharing all your information with your children and you've got sounds like a couple orphanages of children that you're impacting, Emery. Gosh, I'm honored to be guys around you guys. Thank you so much. DePriest, anything else you could think of on how the Community Foundation as a whole can, or any community foundation can help in different types of organizations? I know it seems almost, you know, you think, oh, that's international. We're based here. How does that work? You know, because I think there would be a little hesitation, I think, you know, as far as, well, don't I need to go with a community foundation that's abroad versus here? And give us a little insight as to if that's okay. How does that work? The flow. I know you mentioned earlier how easy it is, but what does that mean?
We're not a one-trick pony. I think that's the thing I want everybody to kind of take away. When Emery and I first met on this journey, it was a mustard seed of an idea that Emery had, and we wanted to be a part of that. So whether it's the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, which I love mustard seed ideas because they grow into huge, ginormous trees that just give, you know, fruit to, you know, individuals around the world and families around the world. But if somebody feels comfortable working with their local community foundation, I say two thumbs up, give them a call, sit down, talk about the possibilities of what you can figure out with the strategy. You know, we're probably one of the most innovative community foundations that I've ever known. And so we're a small but mighty team. But as you can see, we're beyond Georgia, we're beyond the Southeast, we're in the Ukraine. And so, you know, if we can't support you, we can direct you to a community foundation that is more localized that can kind of help you anywhere in the country. So we're all family and we want to make sure that we are seamless in the approach to how we help solve these world problems.
That's right. Thank you so much. And exactly where I was hoping you'd go with this, because it is, it doesn't really matter where you start your journey with your donor advised fund or just let's help this world make a difference in this world. Samuel, I know we're going to close, but if someone wanted to reach you, what would be the best way for you to be found?
Yeah, sure. No, thank you. My website is www.investfit.com, and that's N as in Nancy, V-E-S-T-F-I-T, so InvestFit. That's probably the easiest way to find me. You can also reach us on the phone at 770-648-2348, 770-648-2348.
And he obviously has a wealth of knowledge in charitable giving. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to Samuel. I think he could advise you well. And Emery, you mentioned your website, but I'm going to say it again. It's helpingukraine.us. Mm-hmm. So www.helpingukraine.us.
Correct.
Is that right?
And my phone number is 770-409-8100. Call anytime.
Wow.
And I just want to give a shout out to Rotary and Rotary International and
yes,
our respective Rotary chapters. It is not by happenstance that we came together through such a phenomenal group of men and women that are here to serve. And so we'll keep the conversations going.
Yes. Service above self.
That's right.
Amen.
Great motto. Well, we so appreciate everyone listening. And if you have any questions about the Community Foundation, you could find us at, what is our website? CFNEG.
CFNEG.org.
Yes. And so, and Dupree Swati is the president, CEO of the Community Foundation. And I am what am I doing? I always say this. It's like
development
officer, but you know, I just feel like we're a mighty team as Dupree described. And so we do everything. We are here to help and grow, this world into a better place. Thank you so much for listening. And we will look forward to hearing from you and seeing you soon.
Thank you for joining us on the Good to Give podcast. This show is underwritten by the Community Foundation for Northeast Georgia, working with donors and nonprofits, improving our world through the power of philanthropy. For more information, go to cfneg.org.